And our Bible reading is in John's Gospel, chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we come to the last part of the chapter. As I mentioned before, I'm trying to fill in some of the blanks of my preaching in the book of John. And the woman of Samaria was a topic for Mother's Day. And I've preached a number of times on that one. And so we come to the end of the chapter and to the nobleman's son. We'll begin our reading at verse 39. Verse 39, we'll commence our reading. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Welcome again, as always, to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is Ian Gallagher, my privilege to bring the message of God's Word today. And we're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 5, that section that we have read. And we're looking at this account of this nobleman, a man of some riches and fame, and yet he recognized that the answer to the deathly state of his son was in the Lord Jesus. And so off he went, and he arrived at Cana of Galilee, found the Savior, and called upon him to heal his son. Now the Lord didn't go to his home, he just spoke the word. And it is the power of the Lord's word that is in demonstration. And we need to recognize that the Lord Jesus works by the power of his word in creation. He spoke the word. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He commanded all the world into existence. And the Lord Jesus, by the word of his power, is at work today in this world. And if you look to the Lord Jesus and trust in his word, you will know his blessing, you will know his salvation, and he can command that your sins are forgiven. He can command that you are given power to live in a new life. And many people who struggle trying one thing and another yet feel need the power of the Lord. So stay tuned as we go to our pulpit ministry to let the Bible speak. Now in verse 48, you'll notice the alarm against false faith. Jesus said unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." Now, the man obviously had been asking for a miracle for his son, and the Lord was warning against seeking signs and wonders as the source of his faith. Now, no doubt, signs and wonders impress. And no doubt, that miracle that had taken place in Cana of Galilee, in turning the water into wine, it impressed. And it elevated this man, Jesus, to the talking point of the country. But it's not faith in the miracles and the wonders, but it is faith in the wonder worker himself that is required. And we need to get our hearts and minds and souls fixed on the Lord Jesus. Now, this is a very important matter because in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and especially toward the end of his ministry, Matthew 24, he warned, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And so these signs and wonders, they can be misused. They can be applied to the wrong people, and sometimes the wrong people, the bad player, uses them for their own ends. And so the Lord speaks to this man a word of warning. And the warning is that faith does not rest on outward signs, but in the living person of the Son of God. Now, by nature, men want to see signs and wonders, and many say, "I will not believe until I see." Now, that's carnal, human unbelief. "I will not believe until I see." And how many do we find in the Bible that were exactly in that category? Even the rich man who opened his eyes in hell, he pleaded that his brethren would be sent to warn, that his brethren would be warned by someone sent, raised from the dead. And the answer was that if they do not believe Moses and the prophets, the word of God, neither shall they believe even if one came and spoke after rising from the dead. And of course, Jesus did rise from the dead, and men are still filled with unbelief. And so what they really want is multiplied miracles, and they want it to be in their presence today in their own eyeshot. They want to see it for themselves. It's not enough that it's recorded in history or in the Bible. They want to see something right before their eyes. Now, this was a strong rebuke to this nobleman. And it, I'm sure, was a punch that set him back wondering what's going on here, because the Lord recognized this was a real danger. And so we must take the warning. Are you a Christian because of what you get? Are you a Christian because of the benefits? Or are you a Christian because you believe in the person, the man Christ Jesus? That's the question that comes up here. That's the judgment call, the examination of your own heart and faith. Is it faith in the Son of God, or is it a personal fanaticism on religious things? There's the difference. And I trust you can sort that one out, and that you can say that whatever it costs me, and you're asked to take up the cross and follow Christ. You're asked to deny yourself the things of this world. You're asked to even lay down your body, because your body, well, it's going to the grave anyway. But your soul is eternal, and you need your faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, let's get a balance here, because there's something we don't want to deny, and that is that Jesus did do miracles, and that it did elevate him to a tremendous height, and it did corroborate and become a complementary part of his ministry. The Lord Jesus did miracles. You remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus came by night to ask Jesus, and we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man doeth these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. And so Jesus is the miracle worker. And the miracles are meant to direct us to Christ as Savior. So, where do we make the distinction? Where do we make the difference? Don't stop at looking for some fanatical thing. Don't stop until your heart is fixed in that Christ was sent by God, and He is the true Savior of the world. The miracles are the advertisements. Jesus is the real person. So get your eyes and your heart securely fixed in Him. Now, that warning leads us now to verse 50, to the foundation of faith. Maybe I should call it the true foundation of faith. If we do not rest in works or miracles or wonders and signs, what is it then that is to be the bedrock foundation of the believer's trust in the Lord Jesus? Well, verse 50, the foundation of faith is the direct word of the Lord. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, he didn't see any miracles, wonders, or signs, but he was given a promise. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And upon that clear statement, short statement, no, you know, background to it, just go thy way, thy son liveth. And we're told in that verse 50, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And if you care to take your pen and underline the word, he believed the word. And that now becomes the foundation of faith. And so we dismiss miracles and fanaticism and signs and wonders. Those are not the solid foundation. Those are dangerous. But here now is the very basis and foundation of our faith, the word of the Lord. Now, the Lord worked mightily and powerfully. He did not go to the nobleman's home, and perhaps that was the big surprise. He didn't even make the trip 15 miles. It probably would have taken 4 hours or thereabouts to walk it. I can't think of any faster way. I don't think a donkey would have done much better. Hours away, but now the healing was instant, the seventh hour. And this was the Lord's amazing and wonderful answer. And it was on that basis that the father believed. He believed in the healing, and he believed that it was the right thing now to return and to see his son. There is faith in the Lord's word. And here is a model for us. When the Lord gives us his word, we can take that. And yes, we can take it all the way to the bank. We can be sure that if the Lord has spoken on it, then it is a true, solid foundation. You remember what that rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell was told? They have Moses and the prophets, if they hear not them. And so this Bible is the foundation. Moses and the prophets, that was the 39 books of the Old Testament. Now we have the New Testament. We have the whole Bible, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, which is the foundation for our faith. And all the Word is sure, and all the promises are sure, for He is the God who cannot lie. Do you believe that? Is that the bedrock of your faith today? You don't need to be a charismatic to be a Christian. You need the Bible to be a Christian. And you need this Word hidden in your heart and accept it as the basis, the foundation of your faith. But you might say, but my faith is very small. Well, let me tell you a story about a successor of George Mueller. You know, the man who built the orphanages by prayer and by faith. Well, his successor was a man called, let me get his name here, Dr. Burton. Dr. Burton was his successor. And there came these two missionaries into the orphanages on site, and they looked at these buildings. And the missionary's wife, Mrs. Allen, asked him, it must take an awful lot of faith to keep all this going. And Dr. Burton's answer was, Mrs. Allen, little faith in a strong plank will carry me over the stream, but great faith in a rotten plank will cause me to fall into it. And so our faith needs to be in the power of the Lord, in His authority, in His ability to fulfill His promise. And a little faith will, on the true foundation, will take you across. But if you have what you call great faith in a wrong foundation, a rotten foundation, you're lost. You will perish. And so this becomes the hope of the believer in the Word of the Lord. And you might say, how can you believe that? That's phenomenal. Yes, it is. But it is the Lord's. Once I believe that this book is God's book, once I believe that this is the divinely inspired, God-breathed word from heaven, yes, translated into English, and there's a translation process, but this is the Word of God to me, that's it. God says it, I believe it, and I stand upon it as the foundation of my faith. And so for you who may be searching to know how to be saved, you can take the promises as in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if thou confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. There's the promise. And it goes on, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you have the foundation of faith, the Word of the Lord. And that is our strength. And yes, we can sometimes have weak faith, but it's on the true foundation, and it will carry us across. And so we learn this from the nobleman. Now we come to the confirmation of faith, because there's a happy ending to this wonderful story. And we read here in verse 51, it says that he was going down, his servants met him, and boy, did they ever have good news. They were the happiest servants you could meet. And when the master saw them and they joined in, I'm sure they were just bursting to tell him the news. Guess what? He's all better. At the seventh hour, the fever totally left him. And so his faith was confirmed by the servants. His faith was confirmed by the time of the healing. That was very significant, because it wasn't some other intervention or some just to give it a little more time. No, it was that instant that Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And do you notice something? Do you notice how the servants put it in verse 51? What did they say? Right at the end of verse 51, thy son liveth. The very same words that Jesus uttered. And so here they are now providentially the instruments of God to be the confirmation to the man, using the very same words which Christ had pronounced. And here they came as a very signal confirmation to his heart. So in the servants, the time, and of course the power of the healing, the fever left him. And it was not just, you know, it dissipated and went down a little, bounced around, and then sort of diminished more. It's not that he's a little better, he's all better, and the fever's totally gone. Now, notice here that the faith preceded the miracle. The faith that this man believed in verse 50, before he ever got home, all those miles home, preceded the miracle. And the nobleman believed, and the miracle followed. We also are to believe first, and then we will know the power of the gospel in our hearts. You're not asked to clean up your life, change your life, turn over a new leaf, make resolutions, do something to make yourself something like a Christian. Because number one, you can't do it. And secondly, it'll never work. You are called upon to believe that Jesus can do the miracle of salvation in your heart. And it is when you believe and call upon him in his word that the miracle will happen. Do not look for signs first. Now, the signs that some people look for are the indications, well, you know what? Maybe I am a little bit changed. Maybe I do think differently now than I did last year. Maybe I don't like sin as much as I used to. But just give you a day or two and you're back at it again. Some people start to look at themselves and say, is there any evidence that I'm a new creature, a new person, that I'm changed? And of course, they want to see the sign before they accept the gift of God's salvation. But what a happy hour for the nobleman when he got home. And he joined those servants, literally skipping all the way back to his home in Capernaum. Capernaum up there in the northeast corner of Galilee. That place that would become the center of so many of Jesus' miracles in the future. And that is one of those moments when a father just wants to hug his son to death. It's a bit like, you know, when the child gets lost somewhere and you're weeping and crying, wondering, will you ever find him? And then when you find him, you say, oh, I could kill you. Well, here's the father putting his arms around that boy and hugging him to death. And to feel the fever's gone, I can feel he's back to normal. There was a tremendous confirmation. Some people say that this man was a man called Cus, the servant of Herod, and his wife would have been Joanna. And so that's just a little window maybe into this happy family. And then we're told in this story here in verse 53, and yes, the end of verse 53, and himself believed. So, well, he believed back up there in verse 50, but now he believed all the more. And his servants, his whole household, believed with him. His wife, were there other children, his servants? This was a rich man's home we're talking about. The whole house, they all had concerns for this son, and they all learned that it was the word of Jesus that healed the boy, and we are told they all believed. All these things are a confirmation of faith. And I assure you that if you give your heart to the Lord, if you trust him as your Savior, there will be confirmation. There will be those things that will bring forth the evidence. And I call you then to not signs and wonders, but to the word of the Lord, to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus and believe in his salvation. Sin is a terrible sickness. It is a disease unto death. It'll destroy you. You'll be lost for all eternity without a Savior. So run to him, cling to him, and come believing that he will save you. And let us be a praying church. As I said earlier, we pray as a church for conviction. Let's also pray for conversions. Let's pray that that careless, heedless soul is awakened and that they are brought not just to run after signs and wonders, but to truly believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Do you believe? Then rejoice. Then rejoice. Let's sing to thank you for being a part of Let the Bible Speak today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If I can be of any personal help, I'm only a phone call away. Or send me an email. Would love to hear from you. And of course, if you're in the Vancouver area, please come along to our church services. We'd be delighted to see you there. Now, we have literature and booklets, messages, both online and in hard copy. You can go to our website and read off them there, or we can mail one to you. Whatever we can do to make sure that you seek God's salvation. There is power in the name of Jesus, and these messages in John chapter 5 are all intended to demonstrate the power of the Son of God to save sinners and bring you into peace with God. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.